I'll try not to go long this morning. I've said that before. You know, there's only a couple of us here. Well, we'll just keep it like this. Okay. Are we ready? Up top. Okay. Let's turn to Romans chapter 4. And as I was seeking the Lord, I just felt like he shared with me just kind of a word of encouragement for us. Possibly a word of encouragement if anyone's discouraged. And I know you all are. And I can see why. No, I'm totally kidding. I have no idea. You know, sometimes when the Lord shares things with me, I just think, well, I hope someone really is going through this bad of a time so that it's, so that it's speaking to somebody. No, I don't think that at all. I have found that, you know, typically what the Bible deals with is common to everybody, you know, whether you're in the thick of it or not. You will be, or you have been. So, did I tell you Romans 4? Okay, Romans 4. Let's just look at verse 16. It says, therefore, it is a faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who giveth life to the dead and calleth those things which are not as though they were. So, before we read any farther, this is speaking about the promise, you know, the promised seed and that promise and that being fulfilled. And it's kind of talking about how it's fulfilled, you know, and we know that the promise to Abraham was fulfilled in Isaac, and that Isaac is a type of Christ, and that Christ ultimately is a fulfillment of that promise, and certainly Jesus did fulfill the promise, you know, but Paul's kind of writing here to believers in a way that's encouraging them to move along this lines of faith for them to experience the fulfillment of the promise for themselves, you know. Because it's one thing for Jesus far away to be the fulfillment of the promise, and it's a whole other thing for Isaac to be, you know, the fulfillment of that promise, right? And it's quite another for Jesus to be that fulfillment in us, you know. And you know what was the promise? You're gonna bring forth a son, and basically through that son, I'm gonna raise up a nation, and I'm gonna give you this land. And it's, you know, but it comes through that seed, you know. And I know I'm preaching to the choir here, this, but that Christ, that promise being fulfilled in us, being that Christ as that promised seed, fulfill our land, you know, that we be full of Jesus, that full of Jesus in our mind, our will, even affecting our emotions, you know, having the mind of Christ, and, you know, because that's what we're interested in. I don't care much for mechanics thing, you know what I mean? This is how it works, and this is how it's supposed to work. And, you know, some things I read, and it's like, and I'm not trying to be critical here at all, but it's like, yeah, that's right, and that's how it works, but I feel like I'm reading an instruction manual, you know. I don't know. We're in a relationship with a person, you know, and so I just, the things that get my ear and my heart is when I kind of sense life in it, in a sense, Jesus in it. And, you know, I want him. I want that one that I'm in love with. You know, and I love what Shay shared about remember your first love, because that's like, you know, the gospel of the cross and Christ and him crucified and all that stuff, well, that just came along with Jesus. You know what I mean? I mean, initially, it's Jesus. You know, all that stuff, it's like, well, I mean, if that's who he is, if that's his way, you know what I mean? If it's all, you know, but it only means anything because it has to do with the one you love, the one I love. You know, that's what gives it any significance or importance. Obviously, if I didn't love Jesus, who cares about any of that? You know, and of course, we all agree. I think everyone would feel that way. But you can leave that and just get on to doctrine. You know what I mean? And just get real fired up about how things are shared and saying the right things and all this. And I don't care. Say the wrong thing. God, I'd rather be surrounded with people who say the wrong thing but genuinely love Christ. I mean, just ooze the love of Jesus than surrounded with people who say the right things just dead on, but it's just like, you know, okay, we're saying it, but where's Jesus in? You know, I'm missing the one that, you know, has captured my heart. And now, I'm not putting that on us here at all. I love this place because of you people. I came here because that's what I would get, you know, when I would come and visit as a teenager and as a kid, and it's still here. I love sharing here. I love sitting in here during sharing. I love our gatherings. I wish I could be around more. For that reason, you know, we love Jesus. That's the thing, you know. So you have this deal of the fulfillment of the promise, and here in this passage, Paul's contrasting whether that fulfillment comes by the law or by faith through grace, you know. And now he's writing this to believers. And it's kind of like you can go this way with this or you can go that way with it. Meaning that there's a promise needing to be fulfilled for them, you know. And they're going to pursue it a couple of different ways. They're either going to go along the lines of the law, which, what does that mean? Since none of us here, to my knowledge, are practicing Jews. The law is, you know, it's real simple. The works. It's where that promise, that fulfillment rests completely on, you know, you, your actions, your behavior, your sin or holiness, you know. But it's completely centered on and based on you. You are the fulfillment of it, you know. And then what comes with that is a lot of condemnation. Because really, you're not the fulfillment of it, nor can you be, you know. And now this promise, I also saw it in this way too. Yes, it's Christ. Yes, it's fulfilled in Christ. But, you know, there's also for Abraham, it was his life's calling, you know, the bringing forth of this son. It was leave your homeland, go to somewhere where I'll show you, you know, and do this thing. And there is, you know, God has a plan. You know, you've heard this phrase, God has a plan for everybody, for each one of us. There's a purpose, you know. Now, yes, that purpose is bound up with Christ, but the fulfilling of it, there's just a lot of room for getting off, for getting onto ourselves. And I just, these scriptures here in Romans are probably some of my favorite scriptures in Romans. I know Romans 6 is supposed to be my favorite. And it is. Sometimes it goes back and forth. It depends on how I'm feeling. Maybe tomorrow it will be. But I've always loved these passages in Romans, and we're going to get into why here. But it says, okay, where are we at here? Well, we'll just read verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who giveth life to the dead, and calleth those things which are not as though they were. So God called Abraham a father of many nations before he was a father of many nations, right? Okay, well, great. But he keeps going because it's not just, I feel like Paul's like, you guys, because Paul was, he was dealing with real people here. You know what I mean? And if you look at some of Paul's other epistles, he was pretty knowledgeable about what was going on in the churches, both of the Lord and of the flesh. You know, I'm sure he had a pretty good finger on the pulse of where people were at and wrote according to what they needed to hear from the Lord. So it wasn't enough for just him to say, I know it's not looking like that, but God is saying, you know. Not just enough to say, who calls those things which are not as though they were. Who, against hope, saying, listen to me, Romans, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. So it goes a little bit further here. Who against hope, meaning all the reasons for hope weren't there. Everything you can see was against hope. Believed in hope according to that which was spoken, not according to what you see outwardly. So shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Consider not his own body, now dead. I'd like to know the translation of it, but, I mean, it says he was dead. Like, apparently not, but old enough. Old enough that his body was dead to making children. Consider not his own body when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now just consider that. That this man in this condition was called to have a child, you know? I mean, consider all the reasons that he could look at himself and just say, it ain't gonna happen. And not just look at himself, I mean, his, what, you know, there's that story when, I haven't read it in forever, but it's basically like the Godhead materialized and came and visited him and told him that you're gonna have a son, and Sarah laughed at him. Right? Now, if she's laughing at God who came in the flesh, what do you think her attitude was towards Abraham when he was like, hey, it's, you know, it's Saturday night, we just had some wine, and maybe it's time to live by faith, honey. Right? Sarah, or Jennifer's awake back there. Can you imagine what her response would be? I bet it was pretty funny. If she's laughing at God, imagine what she, you know, she's God's out there, like in the flesh. Imagine when she looks at her decrepit 100-year-old body as good as dead husband. And it's like, we're going to do this? Are you kidding me? Talk about against hope. Right? You know, there was nothing there. But here, as we read this, you get this impression that Abraham was just like, I care not how old I am and how old you are and how dead your womb is. I'm glad there's only, you know, a few of us and my mom on Skype this morning. Although that's still a little, I still need to Maybe my mom's on there just so I'll watch myself a little bit. But you get this impression that he's just like, glory to God. This is going to happen. I'm full of faith, and I don't care what I see. And now, you would think that if you've actually never read about Abraham and his actual life, wouldn't you? Have you? Bible school students read about Abraham? Okay, tell me. Recite the story to me. Well, he's presented. Now, before we get into some of his, what he went through, I would like to say that he was not that guy, at least initially, at least for a very long time. You know, he wasn't just, I believe, period. It doesn't matter. That, you know, he went through stuff. He fell and he struggled. Again, we're going to look at those struggles, but see here, being that this is the Word of God, this is what God has taken note of. Right? God's not taking note of the falls seven times before he learns it. God just said he staggered not at the promise of God through him, because there came a point when he didn't stagger at the promise of God. Now, he may have staggered 50 times before that, but there came a point when he learned and he didn't stagger and he stood and he believed. And that's all that's mentioned here. You know, I mean, the Hebrews 11 is full of that kind of stuff. And that's how the Lord is with us. See, we keep account of our shortcomings and our fallings and all this stuff. And, you know, it's like we think, well, I have moments of faith. And all of a sudden, God's like, that moment of faith defines you to me.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Not all your falls and shortcomings. And, you know, it's like my kid or anyone's kids, you know, take their first step. It's like, he took this first step. They wouldn't say, he fell down like 50 times. He's never going to learn. You know what I mean? What parent would do that? There's something wrong with my kid. You know, he's 8 months old and all he does is crawl around and fall down. I mean, yeah, he took a step. You know, he takes a step here and there, but he just falls on his face. No, there's joy in a parent if he's learning to walk. He's taking his first steps. He's going to keep learning, you know. Nobody's just like, my kid is, I don't know what's wrong with him. He can't talk yet. He's falling down all over himself. You know, he's pooping in his pants every day. We don't do that. You don't do that in public. He's doing it all the time. You know. Well, God is our Father. And he's not just looking at our discouragements, our despair, our, you know, our shortcomings, our sins, and defining us by them. That's not who we are to him. You know, his view of us, his word to us, his plan for us, his method with us, none of it changes. And none of our mistakes change him.
That's right.
You know, in the way he sees us. And we need that. And we need to know that about him. It anchors our soul. You know what I mean? It's like the, because everything else is questionable and, you know, debatable and all this, but God doesn't change. So we need to know how he is with us and what he feels about us. So anyway, there's Abraham. It's recorded in the New Testament. He's the father of faith. You know? Staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So he did get there. But he learned this, just like all of us, you know. He learned this faith. He grew in this faith. And so let's just, I'm not going to go over Abraham's entire life. Just because we're not. But we are going to go to Genesis. Where are we going? 15. Well, first I'm going to talk about chapter 14 real quick. Just to kind of set the stage here, something I noticed this morning. Before we get to 15, in 14, I just read over this real quickly, but it's like the story of the second half of it. Well, no, 14. It's like the story of all these kings coming together and making war against the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah. And in that, they take his brother Lot captive, right? And it's a story of Abraham gathering all his servants together and going and rescuing Lot and killing these other kings. And then after that, he is when he sits down with Melchizedek, the king of Salem, the priest of the Most High God, for crying out loud, and breaks bread with them, you know, and they have that thing. So you have this, there's this big battle, and there's this huge victory, and there's this big deliverance of Lot, and then there's this supper with the priest of the Most High God, for crying out loud. You have this, these big things happening, right? And then in chapter 15, it says, after these things we just talked about, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceedingly great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in mine house is my heir. So, you know, he experiences these big things, the big battle, the grand dinner. But he gets home, and he's just like, the seed isn't here. You know? It's like the big moments, they weren't enough. You know, he reached a place where it's like the big things that most people call really important. Yeah, the Lord's in them, we experience the Lord, and there's victory and all that stuff. But when I get home, the seed's not there. You know, and I'm not necessarily talking about home life or trying to like pinpoint that, though it can be that. But you know how it is. It's like we got the Lord here, and there's the Lord in this big thing, and there's Lord ministry, but in this, you know, I come home, and the seed's not here. You know, it's almost like I don't care about this other stuff because the seed's not here. You know, I walk in my house, and the servant kid is supposed to be my heir, and God's made these promises to me, and it's just not coming to pass. What is going on? So what that I can go defeat armies? You know what I mean? So what that I'm breaking bread with the king of Salem, who's never going to die? You know? So what? If the promised seed can't be here, man, then, you know, and what he was doing was he was just looking at his, he was looking at his surroundings and just getting discouraged. The lack of the seed. I mean, it's just that simple. I mean, he's just looking around, just being like, it ain't happening. It ain't coming to, I thought he would be here by now. You know, I mean, he doesn't know God's time frame. Clearly, he thought something's wrong because he brings it to God's attention. He's like, you know, this hasn't happened yet. Like I thought it was gonna by now. You know, and it's great that you're using me for all this other stuff, man, but when I look around, I'm just not seeing it like I thought I would. You know, what is going on? I'm only getting older. You know, I mean, time. God, you called me when I was 75 to have a kid, you know, which was about how old Abraham was. I'm not getting any younger. That's already pushing it, you know, to say the least. And you know, this thing needs to happen. And, you know, my point in saying all that is we have it in our heads how, you know, probably we had it in our heads how this thing was going to look 10 years from then, 10 years from now, whatever, you know. We look at other people and we think they're just super, super duper in the Lord, you know, and it's all just, You know, and then we think, well, that means that's what it is. And really what you're seeing is you're seeing them defeat armies and have dinner with the King of Salem. And, you know, they have stuff where they're like, I thought there would be more Jesus here now. But you're just seeing the outward release, you know, and you just think, well, my God, it's incredible, you know. And then you get there and it's like, man, I thought there would be, well, number one, we're always going to feel like we need Jesus more, you know, because we need Jesus. But it can become hang up. It can lead to despair. It can lead to, you know, against hope believe. It can lead to hopelessness, you know. It can lead to us just kind of, you know, quitting the fight. It's easier to stop pressing in. You know, it's easy to press in the middle of the fray. You know what I mean? When things are bad, you know, we've experienced a little bit of persecution here, you know, compared to others. I would call it a little tiny bit. But when there's a pulling together, there's a fighting. You know what I mean? When there's that obvious fight against what's the Lord and the Lord's purpose, it's like, yes, we're going to fight. But when it's like, just every day, just like I'm getting older, this isn't happening, I'm dealing with the same issues, the promise seed is still not here, that kind of stuff can wear you out. The same old carnal stuff again and again. Be it in relationships, be it just in yourself. Where is the seed? When is the seed going to come forth? It can be incredibly discouraging, especially in light of consequences of your flesh, you know what I mean? And your shortcomings and failures, you know, and having to live with that stuff and live with it in others. It, just incredibly discouraging, really, can be something that we get hung up on. And so he brings us to the Lord. He's like, you know, great, we won the battle there. Great, the king is saying the thing, but listen, Lord, it's, you know, what is the deal? It's not, and God doesn't just come and say, well, I've been meaning to tell you, Sarah's pregnant. So, you know, no, he doesn't come and say that. He says, well, let's just read first in verse 4. It says, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own loins shall be thine heir. And Abraham's probably like, yeah, gotcha. That's my problem. You told me that a long time ago, and it still hasn't happened. You know, but you see, God didn't change. His word didn't change. He didn't say, yeah, Abraham, I've been wondering what the deal is too. Because I'm looking at your situation wondering, where's the seed? I mean, what's going on? He doesn't say that. You know what I mean? I mean, see, we think God is looking at us just being like, what's the deal? How come you're not? How come you haven't brought this thing to pass yet? What's your problem? It's because you're so old, Abraham. It's because Sarah's womb is dead, isn't it? It's because you're so messed up. You can't do this. You can't bring forth it. No, God doesn't say that. His word just doesn't change. You're going to bring forth the seed. I said it before. I'm saying it again. It hasn't changed. My word doesn't change based on your situation. It's going to remain the same. If God's word was based on us and our carnality, I mean, I think the world would just open up and everyone would just get swallowed into hell and just fill the world with angels. You know what I mean? I don't know. But praise God, it's not. It's not. He's not basing what he says to us, what he puts on his heart, or the purpose that he's called us to, the purposes of God in Christ, based on our old man. He's not. He's not moving based according to that. That is not dictating his action, his view, or his word to you. The old man is not in control. The old man is not deciding your future. You know. Unless you let him. You know what I mean? But it doesn't change God. And so God says that. He reiterates it. Word of the Lord came. So come forth out of thine own loins shall be thine heir. Verse 5. And he brought him forth abroad. So he says, Abraham, let's just take a minute and just step away from your situation. I'm not going to change that situation in an instant here. Let's just step away from it for a moment. I have something to show you. He says, look now toward heaven and count the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. So God just kind of takes him apart, and then what does he do? He shows him something that's 100 million light years away. Is that encouraging? I mean, that's just kind of how I saw it. The Lord shares stuff with me a little bit weird, but consider that. See how far away that is? Yeah, that's how it's going to be here. What's in the heavens coming down to the earth? It's 100 million light years away. The light that you're seeing now actually happened the day I created the heavens and the earth, and it's just now reaching you because it's that far away, you know. But he's telling Abraham, and what he's trying to teach Abraham is, Abraham, in the midst of the way things are now, I want you to believe in what is already established. And even though from where you're standing, in your situation, it's completely unreachable, feels completely unreachable, it looks incredibly far away, that you have no physical means of grabbing it and pulling it down. You know, didn't say something about that in Romans, who shall bring Christ down from above? I can't remember how that says. You know, but you have no capabilities of just bringing this thing down right now. But I'm telling you, that your seed is going to be that fruitful. And right now, I'm asking you to believe it. I'm asking you to believe it. And he says, look now. A word now. Now, in the midst of your situation, in the midst of what you're going through, in the midst of all the stuff, in the midst of, you know, all of that, believe what I'm telling you. You know, and he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And, you know, that, I believe, you know, Abraham's a father of faith. A big reason of it is I believe that he believed the Lord when nothing was happening, when things totally contrary were going on, when the fulfillment of what God had said looked 100 million miles away, you know. And it wasn't just that Abraham was believing in things that he made up, because that's not going to happen. He was basing it on the word of the Lord, you know, basing his whole life on it. And then we'll just go to Genesis 22. I'll try to wrap this up here so we're not late today. But I'm not going to share much out of this, but this is where, you know, he's called to offer Isaac. Did I write it down? I didn't. Okay, well, let's just look at verse 7 and 8. And it says, and Isaac spoke to Abraham. So this is, God said, go offer your son, right? So Isaac, obviously here, has finally been born, you know. And then God says, I want you to sacrifice him to me. He says, Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. And I just saw in this, Abraham had learned here to completely trust God for what God had said he was going to do, no matter how things looked. Even if God said, go sacrifice that seed. It was, listen, this is God's business. God's the fulfiller of it. It's God who wills and who works. It's God who's going to do this thing. I walk in obedience to his word, but he's going to bring it to pass. You know, if there wasn't this struggle of, my God, Lord. You know, earlier he's like, can't Ishmael live before you? You know, I mean, the call to sacrifice a son, he would not have been able to respond to it at that point. You know what I mean? I mean, he's begging for the one that's not the seed to be the seed. You know, but here, he just goes. And he said, God will provide a lamb. Whether that lamb's you, then he, you know, I think it says in Hebrews, he counted that God was able to raise him up from the dead. Whether it's you, then I got to trust God will raise you from the dead. Or it didn't end up being him. It was a, you know, a ram with his horns caught in a bush or something. You know. But it was just this. He wasn't carrying the weight of it. He wasn't moving according to the outward. You know, he wasn't caught in this thing. He was living in faith completely, that God was able to do whatever God called him to do, whatever God wanted him to do. And you know, for us, it's the same. The Lord knows that if we look hard enough at ourselves, there's plenty of reason for discouragement. The farther you get down the road, there's, you know, I mean, you know, we live in a society where a very small percentage of people are put before us. And it's the people who are very, usually very quickly and very wildly successful, where according to the world standard, everything worked out for them, you know. And then when the chips fall the other direction, you know, they're in the tabloids for the wrong reasons. But, you know, we live in this society where it's like everything's supposed to work together to be this big, great thing. You know what I mean? And I think part of that comes from I'll just speak candidly here. I think it comes from the fall of man, where we say we will be like God. You know what I mean? There's that thing in the flesh that says, I want to be like God. I want to be great. I want to be greatness. I want people to look at me and say, I am great. You know what I mean? And that can, you know, how the flesh is, it can find its way even into the things of God, where it's like, I thought I was supposed to be greater than this. I thought I was supposed to be. But, you know, it was God that let Abraham get that old. You know? And do you know that the chapter right before Isaac is actually born, Abraham screws up in the same way a second time, lying about Sarah? It's not even like, and then Abraham finally began to get it. Then walk in faith. It was probably more like Abraham finally was like, if this is going to happen, God, you are going to have to do it. You're able to do it. I'm just putting all my chips on Jesus. You know, I don't see anything in myself that can bring this forth, but I have nothing left but to trust you and to move with you. And then Isaac came forth. You know, God let it get to that point. You know, Moses thought he was going to deliver Egypt with all his princely wisdom and knowledge from, you know, the Egyptian palace and, you know, his position and all this stuff, and how mightily he could be used by God. I didn't want any of that. He screwed up right away, murdered somebody. My God. Forget having an Ishmael. He just murdered someone. You know what I mean? And by the time God actually called him, what was his response? Basically, it was like, please don't use me. I can't do this. You know? I can't speak to those people. I've lost all 40 years in the desert with sheep. I've lost all my eloquence. I can't talk. You know? I've got nothing. I've got nothing to offer. And God's like, well, yeah. And what's he telling me? You know, put your hand in, take it out. All the nasty flesh. Okay, put it back in, take it out. And it was healed. It's like, well, that nasty, yeah, that's you. But I made the tongue. I'm their deliverer. You know, Jesus is our Savior. Period. Not just that salvation. We, the same hopelessness to save ourselves in the moment you first come to the cross is supposed to stay there. But it doesn't for anyone. We have to learn that we are not the one. That it's only by Christ. And that God isn't identifying us according to the condition we see ourselves in. He sees us in Christ. You know, he said, Abraham, look to the stars because that's where I live. That's my reality. I'm going to make it real in your life. But I need your faith. We have to walk in agreement. Yes. You know, that's the deal. That's the whole condition. You know, you go to hell unless you believe. You know, that's the one condition. Faith. Believe. Believe. And so, So praise God, you know, in light of our junk, in light of our carnality, what's the answer? Well, the cross is. You're crucified with Christ. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. And well, why hasn't that come to pass more? And why hasn't that, leave that to God. He's your Savior, not you. What are you going to do? Go into works to save yourself? You know, then stay in faith and let God work through faith by grace, you know. Amen. So let's close in prayer. Father, we just thank you for your fatherly love, Lord, that you're not marking our life by failures, but by faith, Lord, by Christ, by the times when we line up with you, when we hit it with you, Lord. Those are the things that define us to you. Father, you're so full of love for us and full of hope and desire for us to come in and to enter into all that is in your heart for us. You want it so bad, Lord, and we just take this morning and just say yes to that. We just look up where we're at in our situation, and we look at the stars and just say, yes, Lord, we believe you. We believe you can do it. We believe you can bring the heavens to earth. We believe, Lord, that you can fill this land with fruit, the fruit that can't even be numbered. You can do it. You can do it. When we look at you, Lord, we see faith. Father, help us to keep our eyes on you. Father, we're much happier looking at you than we are at looking at problems and reasons to be discouraged, Lord. Lord, keep us from the enemy who would put these things before our eyes and accuse us. He's the accuser of the brethren. We just stand against the accuser of the brethren in Jesus' name. And he would cause us to despair. He would try to disqualify us to ourselves. And our qualification is Christ and the blood of Christ and union with Christ, period. That's it. That's the ground that we take. Thank you, Jesus. Establish us further in these things, Lord. In your name, Father. Amen.